Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
Did you know you can get your blood tested to find out if you are going to lose the hair from your head? That is possible.
Yeah, you give them a couple drops of your blood. They know not exactly when it's going to happen, but that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Your hair is going to fall out.
There's a lab here in Bonn, Germany, and Gabe and I went up to that lab to undergo this test, and yeah, the results were not that good.
Science Unscripted.
Okay, so yeah, hey, my name is Stephanie. I'm a research group leader at the Institute of Human Genetics at the University Hospital in Bonn, and my research expertise is the genetic causes of male pattern hair loss.
Stephanie, you took Gabe's blood and my blood, and you analyzed it, and you know which one.
There's some papers on the desk, Connor.
Which one of us is going to go bald first? And that's what we need to know now.
I got a really good feeling about this one.
Gabe would be more towards pattern one or two, mm-hmm. With us Connor being rather with the three or four.
I'm going to be
at some point.
I'm going to be smooth on top in not too long here.
Cue ball, Connor.
Yeah, but what you can also see is that there is a lot of overlap between them. Yeah. We took your blood, we extracted DNA from the blood cells, and we did a genotyping. So we looked at different positions in your genome and what alleles, or what base of the four bases you have in your DNA is present at that particular position in the genome. And then we compared that with our knowledge on what base at these positions has a risk or increases your risk for hair loss.
And that's correlation. So you've seen, so look, 500 out of these 500 guys, 200 of them lost their hair, and in the bases of their DNA.
That is basically how we identified these positions in our genome that play a role in hair loss. We did a so-called genome-wide association study. So we compared the DNA of men that lost their hair versus men that didn't lose their hair, and then checked how their genomes look differently. And by just comparing, we found more than 300 positions actually in the human genome that play a role in your risk to lose or not lose your hair.
We're going to spend the rest of this report trying to figure out what you can do if you get news like Connor just got that he's going to be pattern three or four, or he's going to look like a cue ball pretty much.
It's big news for me. It's a big moment.
What can be done from a genetic perspective? Is there any, are there any therapies out there, or maybe in a few years' time, is there anything that you can do?
I don't think that's going to happen in my lifetime. I don't think there is going to be like a genetic treatment, but like what we know is that of course the hair loss progresses. So if at some point we were able to like really identify the risk very early, know how fast it's going to progress and like give people all this information, and based on that they could decide whether they would or would not want to take an early intervention, because we know for the drugs that are out that you need to take them early to preserve the current status of hair that you have. And like kind of hair that has once been lost is not really going to regrow. Early treatment is kind of key of not losing the hair, but then still you have to think whether it makes sense.
So that was me, basically. I mean, you were there too, Gabe, obviously, but me discovering.
You're the lead role in today's play.
With the certainty of science that I'm going to lose my hair, that this curly hair, which I've appreciated my whole life, it's going to fall out of my head and it's going to go down the shower drain. And that's just a fact. And we talked, after learning about that, we talked about maybe, you know, on this episode, we would get into the biology of why exactly that's going to happen to me and not to Gabe. It's way too complex, and it's not the most important thing to talk about.
Well, yeah, the cellular processes at work that lead to hair falling out, that information is out there. There are outstanding podcasts that go into that topic for hours on end. We're not going to add to the discussion here.
To be honest, I'm not that concerned or interested in it. What do I want to know? I want to know, like, what should I What should I do now? How do I
deal with... There is a lack of that information. How to cope with the news that you just got.
Yeah. And this is the point on this show, Science Unscripted, we usually go through studies to figure out what researchers in that field, in the field of hair loss, what they would actually recommend for a guy like me or for the many guys out there going through this and also women. And it turns out it's really, really difficult to find an unbiased study.
The overwhelming majority of those studies are dirty. There are commercial influences, or they've been funded by companies, or there are people trying to make money off of the information or the message that is in that content. We're going to speak to someone who has been studying just that. His name is Glenn Jankowski. He's from Leeds University in the UK. We're going to speak at length with him again about what you should do. You know, someone like you who gets this news.
Well, and equally important, what you shouldn't.
Science Unscripted.
Okay, so give it to me, Glenn. I've just found out that I'm going to lose all of this, basically, all of it. What is happening to me psychologically right now based on years of studies?
Years of studies show that the initial impact of losing hair or worrying that you're losing hair can be profound for men. You can think that you're going to be discriminated against, that you're going to be severely suicidal, depressed, that no one will love you, etc. But the evidence shows subsequently you adjust to it and it's fine. And sometimes you even like being bald.
So where does the worrying come from?
It's suicidal. I mean, like, yeah, that's serious, serious stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible. These claims that are around baldness, what will happen to us, are terrible and profound. And they come from advertising. There are companies that will associate a hair follicle as a balding man on the edge of a building, and it's only their hair chemical that will save them. That's a true advertising campaign that's won awards. So these claims are very, very profound and powerful, but they don't reflect the reality of what balding is like for most men.
I guess my question is, I agree that I've seen ads that are, I mean, the focal point or the whole purpose of the ad is to make it clear you don't want to be bald, hence we're going to fix the situation. But isn't it also true that it is kind of psychological? There is a real psychological issue. I like my hair. I like it. And I think most guys would agree.
My uncle Fred lost all his hair. He said it was the worst day of his life when he mm-hmm. saw the hair in the shower.
Wait, it all fell out in one day?
Yeah. No, but when he saw the first, I don't know, clump of hair, he said it was the worst day of his life.
There's nuance here. Some men do find it very distressing. All men need help and support, psychological support for that. But the advertising and culture makes it a lot worse. This is what the evidence shows. I've done meta-analyses with colleagues where we looked at all the evidence we could find on this, size the data, and the impact on average is moderate, not severely distressing.
Okay. But then why don't we have to, can't we agree on the fact that if you're bald, you look older, and a lot of people want to look younger, it seems. And also, hence, if you're bald, you're possibly not as sexy to the opposite the gender that you're attracted to, and hence you've dropped in isn't that it? Isn't that a real cost of going bald, or is that something we just imagine?
Yeah, I'm not churlish to deny that there aren't any consequences, and some of them are negative. On average, perceptual differences show that people rate balding men as older, as less attractive, but also sometimes as more dominant, as better leaders, and potentially more intelligent as well. There are positive stereotypes with baldness. You said earlier you'll miss the feel of your hair. Fine, but you might like the feel of a bald head. It can feel nice. Mm-hmm.
It seems like you're saying the best thing to do is just accept it and not pursue any of the other coping mechanism strategies out there. What are those? Like, what could he do in terms of medicines or other treatments? What
therapies, stretching, meditation? I don't know. Anything?
Hope.
There are lots of responses you can take to baldness, and some of them are approved and can be effective. And those include cosmetic and pharmaceutical drugs that will potentially reduce further hair loss or maybe have some hair regrowth. Then there are many men who shave and accept it, or there are men who grow out their recessed hair. My ultimate conclusion is people should come to a decision that's right for them, weigh up the advantages and disadvantages, which all responses have, and shouldn't be pushed to one. And currently they are pushed to either transplants or pharmaceuticals.
What does the research say on what is the best way? What is the best strategy?
My colleague Dirk Kranz is a German researcher, and his research found that men who shave and accept their baldness rather than try and compensate do psychologically better in the long term.
There's a very famous German soccer football coach, Jurgen Klopp. He's been very open about how he had hair transplants and that he is thrilled with the result and that he loves how he looks, and he looks great. He's a handsome guy.
Elon Musk
has done them. What does the research show in general for people who don't have, you know, millions of euros or dollars or whatever to pay the big bucks for it? Are most people are happier with the hair transplant? Are they unhappier? What do we know?
Good question. So unfortunately, many of the studies that are on hair transplants are funded by hair transplant clinics, so they're not entirely objective. One study actually from a hair transplant clinic was conducted a study to show that hair transplants result in these great benefits. What I found amazing was those benefits were that a person with a hair transplant versus without, so a shaved head or a bald head, was rated as 1 year younger with the hair transplant, which is quite a minimal difference.
Back when we were growing up, there were these commercials on TV all the time for Rogaine. I feel like I don't see those anymore. Now I see a lot of online chatter about something called finasteride, I believe is how it's pronounced. What is it? Does it work? It's hormonal, I believe.
Two meta-analyses have been conducted on finasteride and minoxidil, or Rogaine, Propecia, their brand names, and they found that on average about 18 hair follicles will regrow in a centimeter of scalp that's monitored. That's a small gain on average. For some men it would be higher, for some lower. It's not very cosmetically meaningful to have 18 follicles in a square centimeter of scalp. We have about 120 on average. However, they might be better at stopping further hair loss. We should always be very careful, especially with any intervention that changes us systematically, as finasteride does. If it's taken orally especially, it can interfere in the hormonal process. And some men report debilitating side effects, including sexual dysfunction, depression, even neurological problems.
The problem that you mentioned before about the commercialization of scientific studies on baldness, I'm wondering, are there any studies that haven't been dirtied by businesses trying to profit? Where do you get your data from, or where can they get it?
Yeah, there's not enough of those studies, not influenced commercially, especially in baldness. It's really reprehensible. I did an analysis and found 80% of those studies were commercially influenced. Obviously, myself, my own research isn't influenced because I'm academically funded. I'm lucky for that. And people should, reading research, should always check the funding disclosures and the author's profiles and check, do they work for a clinic? Are they associated with Merck, a pharmaceutical company? And then be wary of that.
Really what I'm wondering, what would you say to all of the guys out there?
Yeah.
All of the guys out there who are going to go through this?
The young, the old, whoever. That day when they realize it's coming, what is the advice for them?
If you worry about being bald, take your time with that response. Consider all your options, including the advantages and disadvantages, including permanent side effect risks. Pick the option that's best for you and avoid commercial information on this. That's through research, but also social media and baldness. A lot of Instagram influencers, etc., will take money from a pharmaceutical and then promote that product. Also, look at the balding men that have come before you and how well they're doing. Many shave and are fine. The last thing a commercial claim is that baldness is a devastating disease. Do we really accept that Vin Diesel, The Rock, Bruce Willis have devastating diseases that are untreated? I don't think so.
Glenn, there's been one elephant in the room, I think, that we haven't spoken about this whole time. It's the fact that you have extremely good hair. For the sake of transparency for all our viewers out there, are you
wearing a wig?
No, well, I wasn't going to ask that. No. Do you use some of the pharmaceuticals or some of the medicines that are available? I mean, you know so much about them. If I were you and I knew they were fine, I would probably do it. I just don't know if they're good. Do you use them?
I'm a researcher and I'm also a man with an appearance. And yes, so I'm subject to all these appearance pressures that other people are. I do. Among my collaborators who are bold researchers, and they're bold themselves, our first lesson in our club is we don't talk about Glenn's hair, which you've just happily breached. I do use pharmaceuticals. I started bowling at 18, I'm 34, and I've always concealed it, and I've been lucky to conceal it. I use pharmaceuticals today, and yeah, I do try to own this in my research. I'm subject to it and I do it as well. So I say, do what's best for you. Don't even do what I'm doing, because I don't know if I'm doing what's right.
It looks great. It looks like if I walked past you, I'd be like, damn, that's a guy with good hair. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Are you flirting with him now or what?
maybe. I don't know. Sometimes life happens in unexpected ways.
Oh, boy.
I have temple hair recession, and I've always grown my fringe. That's okay. Some men rock it.
That was Glenn Jankowski speaking to us from Leeds in the UK.
Yeah, and just after we finished talking to him or interviewing him, what I was saying to Glenn was how it is nice to hear an expert talk about this topic, because despite the fact that we've seen ads all of our lives, all over the place, and heard jokes about it, it's not really in a therapeutic or useful way. It feels like, probably for a lot of the guys out there, like it's your own personal journey that you have to deal with, right? You're thinking about it when you get your hair cut, you're looking at photos and like, ah, wow, I kind of look like I'm balding in that photo. Mm. And yet what, at the end, it's 70% of us.
I don't have to deal with this, Connor.
Probably not.
And I'm very happy about that.
You're gonna be this guy probably mostly. You're still in the green.
Show it to the camera.
Yeah, maybe a little of that.
Yeah. I'm number one.
You're lucky you got the genetic.
No, but I'll know people who are gonna go bald.
Oh, you know one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just got the information from him. I'm saying this is important information that almost everything that you hear or think you know about baldness has been manipulated.
Yeah, that I didn't know.
It's been sold to us that this is a disease. It's not.
No.
It's benign.
You can gracefully lose your hair, and that's fine.
But that's not to say that it's easy. Anything to say on this?
How are you dealing with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going through it or have gone through it, I mean, what? There are people, if you start losing your hair at age 20, that's a different thing than I'm dealing with right now. How did you deal with that? How are you dealing with losing your hair? We would be very interested in hearing what you have to say. Leave a comment, send us an email. We're su@dw.com. And best of luck to all of you.
DW. Made for minds.